from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Hey, Ursula, I got to tell you something.
What's that?
I'm not going to lie to you. Mm-hmm. Today, this morning, started off a little stressful, right?
I told you, that's the state of the state, stressed.
And that's what we started it off. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think I did to help combat my feelings?
You drank some coffee.
A lot.
Or grit. Had some grits.
No. Ooh, that sounds good. Lillian made some grits on Sunday. It was bomb. But anyways, no. This is cup number 6.
You're almost to your PR at 8.
No.
Six. Nick's keeping track. Cups of coffee.
Yeah. I just want to, since we did our pre-show meeting this morning, this is my 6th cup.
And you think that's going to calm you down?
No, I don't think
it's going to feel better.
I'm just going to feel better, but okay. I'm warning you, Chef Nick, and the listeners. So if I get out of pocket, like, oh, geez, all in the weeds, you don't know where he's going.
Okay.
All right.
You want me to save you from yourself, in other words.
You know what? Lately, Ursula, I've been having to save you.
It's so true. And yes, someone pointed out that I have no idea what you were referring to when you talked about the drawer. So we're just going to let that go.
But, she knows.
No. No. I do know we're going to have a big guest tomorrow. And I want you guys all to be ready because Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell is going to be joining us. Chef, is it at 10 o'clock?
10:06 tomorrow morning.
10:06. So this will be his first appearance on our show as the new Seattle mayor. And as we had talked about when he was elected, we want to make it a regular thing. So we're going to have a lot of questions for him, but we want you to also send us your questions. But Bruce Harrell coming up at 10:06 tomorrow, so you do not want to miss that. Also, as we always do, we invite you to text us. Our state roofing text line is 888-973-5476.
Let's get to it. The top three things that you need to know at 10.
Number one.
And unfortunately, it is not going to be a surprise to you, but COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths are all higher again this week. Hospitalizations have increased by about 33%, and deaths across the country are up by about 40% from a week earlier. Here is CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
Over the past several weeks, we have seen the number of daily cases increase substantially. The magnitude of this increase is largely related to the Omicron variant, which now represents about 98% of the COVID-19 cases in the country.
And she says that the Omicron variant is expected to peak in the coming weeks, but she also says it's the Delta variant that could be causing the spike in hospitalizations and deaths. And so we wanted to look at it locally, and the Snohomish County Health Officer, Chris Spitter, says in that county, he expects 1/3 to 1/2 of all people in Snohomish County to be infected with Omicron before we see the end of this wave. And he said we should see peak caseload next week.
More toward mid-February, we would expect to see a peak in deaths.
And he also says, in the meantime, getting those tests will remain a challenge, even though we were told that starting Saturday, we are eligible to get up to 8 of them covered by private insurance.
Right. I remember when about a couple weeks ago, you made the announcement. You was like, you know, gee, there's probably a good chance I'm going to get it. And then the next day, it was your youngest son that got it. You know what I mean? That was kind of a coincidence. You didn't wish that to happen. There's a lot of people that have gotten it recently, or maybe you know family members or friends of yours that have gotten it as well. Yes, the Omicron variant is not as, at least so far, is not as deadly as the Delta variant. But the problem is the Delta variant still exists. In the United States of America, over the last 11 days, we have lost 17,000 Americans to COVID-19. This is still a serious problem in our country. Some of you listening right now, maybe you've lost loved ones, and I'm sorry to hear that. Maybe you didn't lose a loved one. Maybe someone has gotten really sick. And if, I'll end with this, Ursula. If there's one wish that I have, I wish that some of these NFL players in the NFL, I wish some of them would be truthful and tell how this has impacted them, how COVID has impacted them. Because I'm going to tell you, I know personally guys that have been struggling due to COVID.
Well, Tyler Lockett was really open about it.
Oh, well, he came out. He was open about it. Okay, yeah, for sure. But there's more. And it hits everyone in different ways. And the one last thing that's something, and I want to share this with you, because if you guys remember, I had COVID, what was that, April of 2021. And you guys know I worked the entire time. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you the reason why I worked the entire time. I worked the entire time because deep down I was scared. I was scared that if I took off work mentally, that I'd just sit around and then I kind of just felt like things would kind of get worse for me. Because I don't know if any of you have gotten COVID and maybe you've recovered from it, but there is a feeling that you have when you get COVID that you're kind of worried. Like, oh, that cough was a little hard right there. Or, oh, wait a minute, can I breathe right? Or if you wake up in the middle of the night and you ask yourself, are you okay? So there's a lot of worry that goes along with having COVID as well. So I want to just bring up that there's so many dynamics outside of just extreme, which would be death, Ursula.
Well, one of the big things right now is that people are saying, I hope I get it so I can just get it over with. And most health experts are saying, don't do that. Don't try to purposely get sick with it. Because right now, essentially, that would be like playing with fireworks or playing with explosives or holding on to the firework too long. Because, again, like you said, you don't know how it is going to affect you. You bring up the NFL players, people who are at the peak of athleticism and good health. And Tyler Lockett said, what, he lost 10 pounds in just a short amount of time, and he was really weak. My oldest son, we found out just 2 days ago that, yes, in fact, he got COVID as well. Now, I want to make clear, he does not live with us, because I think people heard that and were concerned. He does not live with us, but he is in peak shape. And the other day when I was talking to him, I said, I think you're still dealing with the effects, because he sounded like, I was like, have you been drinking? Have you been, because he sounded, it affects your brain for many people too. It was like COVID fog is real. So even when you are in great shape, it can have this impact that maybe you don't anticipate. And yes, there are many, many people who just breeze through it and it's nothing, and lucky for you.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You've shared, both of your sons had it, so yes, you're okay talking about,
yes,
that. I know how you are, but I never asked you this. Were you nervous at all for your sons?
Not as much, just because of what I knew, and because, you know, I stayed in close contact with them as far as what symptoms they were facing, and they don't have underlying conditions that we're aware of. I mean, they're in their 20s, so they had everything going for them. The reason I wasn't really, really worried is because both of them were vaccinated.
Okay.
One had been boosted, the other not.
Okay.
Yet. I mean, and now he is boosted. So all those reasons made me think they're going to be the ones that are going to fare well, and it's likely Omicron. But now, if my mom were to get it, or my mother-in-law, or my father, who are in their 80s and 90s, or even me, you know, and I am boosted, but, you know, I have high blood pressure that I have to take medication for, that puts me at a higher risk. And I don't buy into this idea of, well, if you don't have any comorbidities, it shouldn't worry you. Well, I would say that many, if not the majority of Americans, have something else going on.
Can I just add on to that real quick?
Yeah.
Go ahead, yeah.
Can I just say that if you have been vaccinated and you have been boosted, you should not worry. Just from my personal experience in my own home, it's been about a week since my son tested positive, and my infant daughter is also sick. And let me tell you, they are absolute snot factories. My house is the hot zone, perpetually. Both my parents, who are nearly 70, my wife and I, no symptoms, were completely fine. When was the last time you were in the house with someone who had a cold and you didn't get it? So I understand that some people definitely do get, you know, the breakthrough infections, but there is no doubt in my mind that all of us would be sick had we not had the vaccine.
Right. The one thing that I did notice with our oldest son is that he said he did feel a little bit of anxiety, and it was caused by the virus.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. That's real. It's like, yeah. Anxiety, like he was nervous about it, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it was just a side effect, which is known. I mean, it can mm-hmm. affect the way that your brain wiring and, you know, just you never know how it affects. And again, this is not meant to. The vast majority of people do not need to go to the hospital. So don't, because we're probably, I mean, Fauci says we're all, it's going to find just about everybody. I think most people would agree at some point, but don't try to purposely get it, I guess would be the thing.
Number two.
So if people can bet on sports at tribal casinos, why not elsewhere? That is what the owner of Maverick Gaming wants to change, and he has now filed a lawsuit to make that happen.
Well, today we're filing in the D.C. Circuit a challenge to the compacts that have been negotiated by the governor with the state of Washington and the various tribal entities. We're claiming that they violate the intent and purpose of the ICRA, which we believe the purpose of ICRA was to ensure and protect tribes are able to compete commercially with those interests when authorized in the state. Sports betting, since it is not authorized in the state of Washington, cannot be lawfully provided under ICRA to the tribal entities. And so we're filing this claim in an effort to overturn various compacts in the state of Washington and to bring commercial sports betting to the state of Washington.
So whose side are you on?
Well, you know how I feel about sports betting. I don't like it. Not at all. However, I'm on this side. If you're going to allow sports betting, then everybody should be able to do it here in the state. I don't think that it needs to be on certain property or whether it happens. If you're going to allow it, allow it. So I'm on that side of it. You?
I'm with you. I don't understand why it is still the case. And I don't think it's going to take away from the tribal gaming. I think if you go to any casino on any reservation, they're packed. I think that there's not going to be – I don't buy into this issue that it is going to take away from what they do. And I do believe that someone like the owner of this particular shop, I mean, why can't he do it?
Because it is hypocrisy, and I don't care. I don't care. I'm fine limiting gambling in any way possible. I wasn't happy that they passed the sports gambling law,
yeah.
But I hope this lawsuit fails, because anything that we talk about gateway drugs, right? It's intimidating going to a casino and trying to figure out, if you've never played before, hey, how do you play Pai Gow? Because maybe they don't have blackjack at you know, the casino up the road from you. Or how do you play poker? How do you get into that? Well, everybody knows how to bet on a winning sports team, and everybody thinks that they know a lot about sports. So I think sports betting is the gateway drug for so many young men, especially. Keep it on the reservations, and I don't care that it's hypocritical.
Okay, because it is hypocritical. And I'm going to say this. If you're not going to do it at Maverick Gaming, or if you're not going to do it at the tribal casino, you're going to do it online. You're going to do it amongst your friends. I don't buy that either, because I know for a fact that people do it already. So essentially, you're saying, yes, you can do business here, but you cannot do business here. And I find that
to be
hypocritical and unfair.
Well, I find it, we spend so much time talking about our homelessness crisis here in this state. Not just the country, but here in this state, we talk about that all the time. And then now we're going to add, you don't think that we're going to possibly add to it with allowing sports gambling? Yeah, and you're right, Ursula, that you can go do it online, but it's just as easier when you can just walk or drive down the street and go and do it yourself.
Yeah, I'll tell you,
that's
what
makes me nervous.
Betting on sports, I've never mm-hmm. done it. And you know, I love going to Vegas. I've never done it. It's not appealing to me, so I'm not going to seek it out.
Yeah. It's an awkward silence. Are we?
I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to step on you. Here we go.
Number three.
So 7%. You have felt it. That is how much more everything costs compared to last year. It is a rate of inflation that we haven't seen since 1982. And I want you to listen to CBS's Jill Schlesinger, because she says, yeah, prices jumped 7% in December over 2020. And you must be feeling it.
We came into this pre-COVID. We came into the period with extraordinarily low inflation, where inflation was rising by just less than 2% annually. I don't think there is an economist out there who believes that we will get to 2% inflation this year. And I think that the reality is, if we were at 2.5% or 3%, most economists would be thrilled.
Okay, so Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell has already said the central bank is ready to do what's necessary to keep high inflation from becoming entrenched. So you can expect interest rate increases over the next year, or maybe even two.
Here's what bothers me is, once again, the majority of people that will really feel what's going on are those with low income. And you'll feel it right away with gasoline, which has now been an increase of 49.6% at the gas pump. Beef, 18.6%. Car rentals, if I don't know if you guys have gone out of town and you've rented a car, and you probably nodding your head, checking your head, oh yeah, 36% increase. Hotels, 27.6% increase. You want to go buy a used car? You want to know what that is now? 37.3%. I'm going to stop with the numbers, and I'm just going to go with the overall feeling. It breaks my heart when I see these things, because I know who gets impacted by this. There's some people that can just live their lives. Has this affected me with my spending? No, it hasn't. It has not affected my spending. But I know that back in the day when I was paycheck to paycheck, any $20 hit or extra $30 here would make or break my month. So that's the heartbreaking thing. And as we have inflation of 7%, we all know what the wages and what your raises were coming into 2022. It wasn't 7%.
Yeah, if you don't clear at least 7%, you're going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be go ahead.
How about those on fixed income? Huh? We'll talk about them. Those that get that check every month. Maybe you served in the military. You get that check. They didn't even cover that.
Gee, you always say it doesn't bother me. It doesn't impact me. It impacts all of us. It impacts me. It does make me change some of the things that I used to do. I will spend more time in the grocery store looking at, okay, what's on sale. Wow, that went up yesterday. My mom, I was doing grocery shopping for my mom, and she wanted grapes. I'm like, I'm not paying $5 a pound.
I'm telling you that it doesn't, like, for an example, here's an example. When I go to the gas station, Ursula, I don't care. I'm going to a gas station and I'm going to fill up. Back in the day when I would go to the gas station, I would make life decisions at the pump. Okay, let me see. I got to go here. I got to go there. Excuse me. Can I have $9 on number 3? Right. That was me. So that's what I mean by decisions being affected.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. I understand. But I'm saying it affects everybody. And it's not fun. 7%. So you're not dreaming when you're saying I'm paying more for everything. Yes.
Coming up next, Bank of America. Oh, they're heroes now. They're going to end bounce check fees, and they're going to slash overdraft fines. We're going to talk about how great Bank of America is. We do that next. It's Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show, our Wednesday morning edition. For some of you listening right now, you've never had to worry about a bounce check. But for others, you know that pain of the big penalties for not having enough money in your account and how one fee can lead to even more bounce checks. Well, there are some big banks now that want to eliminate at least some of that pain. The latest is Bank of America, which announced just yesterday that it plans to stop charging $35 for non-sufficient fund fees, and it will stop the overdraft fees or drop them at least from $35 to $10. Wells Fargo is also getting in on this, announcing they are ending their non-sufficient fund fees next month. And I sent an email to you guys and I said, well, it's a start. And I know that you have a lot more to say about this, G.
In 2019, banks charged us U.S. customers $15.47 billion in overdraft and insufficient fund fees. This is according to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Tell me again how these fees trickle down. But anyway, that's another story. Banks are literally banking on you not having enough money in your account to cover your expenses. For many of these banks, that means that they get to hit you with up to $30 to $35 on an overdraft fee. So rather than competing on the quality of service and the attractive interest rates, many banks have become hooked on overdraft fees to feed their profit model. As you guys can hear in my voice, I'm going to post. I kept a screenshot of all the times that my stuff would go negative and the overdraft fees that I used to go through just in 2012. That's 10 years ago. This is something that is so personal to me. It makes my skin crawl. Now, since we're talking about Bank of America, let's do a little history. Back when Donald Trump, the former president, signed the tax reform bill into law, which was much needed relief to the middle class families by chopping the corporate tax rate from 35 to 21%. At that time, Bank of America, this is what they did exactly in 2018. They eliminated their free checking account that was popular with low income customers, requiring them to keep a certain amount in their account to avoid a monthly fee. So let's take a look at that. And here's what that looks like. They switched all of them to charge them a $12 monthly fee unless they had direct deposit of $250 or more, or a minimum balance of $1,500 in their account. Now, remember, not everyone gets paid with a direct deposit. So let's do some math here. $12 per month for a checking account, right? So if you have, let's just say, $1,000 in your account only, that $12 is 1.2% of your money each month. Multiply that by 12 months. That would be 14.4%. That is the annual rate that Bank of America would be charging you. So I'll say this. You say better late than never. You get no kudos from me, Bank of America. And I'm sick and tired of banks building in their actual profit model is for we Americans to mess up. For the people that are rich, they don't have any fees. They have no fees. It's only people in lower income class that gets charged these fees. So I apologize, Ursula. I'm done. But this is a topic that makes my skin crawl.
So I'm going to, and I hear that, and I understand it. Oh, when I was in college, I have shared ad nauseum that I had to pay my way through college, juggle a bunch of jobs. And there was a time when, or maybe a couple times when I, you know, would be anticipating the money coming in. And so I'd write a check against that, and then it didn't come in, and then you get that fee, and then that fee makes you even deeper in debt, and it's hard, it's hard. But I want to, for our purposes of conversation, and also because I know there are a lot of people who think this way, don't spend the money. This is actually a text from 425. Don't spend the money that you don't have and you won't pay a non-sufficient fee or overdraft fee. It is simple mathematics. What is your response to that?
Oh, I can take that one real quick. How about the bank holding your checks for 3 days before they put them in your account, even though it can clear in 24 hours? So they're holding onto your money for 2 days. They do this all the time. They play the shuffle game with when things end up in your account and when they decide to debit your account, when they decide to hit your account with fees. And yes, the timing of all of that is strategic. The bank is absolutely fine hosing you all the time. And I give Bank of America and Wells Fargo 0% credit for getting rid of their NSF fees because those only account for physical checks. physical checks. Who writes those?
Mm-hmm.
I want to... Man.
I know you're getting...
Because here's where I'm tired, and I'm going to give you some simple numbers right here. People sit me up like, gee, you need to take economic classes. That's the problem. I did take econ classes. Econ. And to simplify it is this. I'm arguing daily about how the top 1% of this country own 40% of the land in this country. And then the top 10% of this country has 75% of the money. So that means the rest of us, 90%, we're fighting about the other 25% of money. Want to talk about economics? And the people that fight with me are people that's not even in the 10%. I tell you what, shout out to the top 10%. You guys have really made this game real good. Boy, I tell you, kudos to you. Kudos. Scenarios next. Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it'll be time for Agree to Disagree. And also, by the way, just so you know, tomorrow, new mayor of Seattle, Mayor Bruce Harrell, will be joining the show at 10 o'clock. So make sure you tune in for that. But right now, let's get to scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Ursula, I just want you to know I did not proofread this yet because something happened here. You know how technology is, and I only had one sitting here, so my bad. Bear with us. Good luck. Here we go. You're going to think I'm really shallow when you hear this, but it's a real thing for me. My boyfriend and I are planning to be married, probably sometime next year. We're in love and also believe in saving ourselves for marriage. We've never even seen each other naked until this past weekend. And that's when the problem started. It's not what you think. He has a tattoo on his butt. Well, whew. And it's of the cartoon character Foghorn Leghorn. You know, the chicken in the cartoons that talks like he's from the South. When I saw it, I started laughing, thinking it was a temporary tattoo, and he put it on as a joke. And my boyfriend was hurt. He said that that was his favorite character as a kid. And he even knows how to do a great impression of him. Then he started talking like the character. I asked if he's willing to have it removed. He looked at me like I was nuts. He didn't talk about it again, and it's still bugging me right now. Should I pursue this? 888-973-CHIRO is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up the bat first.
This is over a tattoo on his rear end. This is the biggest problem.
Tattoo on the tuchus.
This is the biggest problem right now. If he is someone of great character, maybe he had a poor judgment at that moment, or maybe it's just something that he's really proud of and he loves. If that is the deal breaker for you, I don't know what to say. Although I guess you would have to look at if you continued in a long-term relationship. But I think they're just bigger problems. I would worry about whether he's a good human, whether he is someone who has goals and dreams that align with yours, whether he loves you and respects you. Those are the things I'd worry about, not the tattoo on his rear.
Chef?
Okay. Can I admit something? When you said he had a Foghorn Leghorn tattoo, I started thinking, oh no, is there some sort of racist history of Foghorn Leghorn that I'm unaware of that I'm about to learn? So I'm glad that I did not. I think the issue is not the tattoo on the tuchus. It is your fiancé speaking like him. So if you want to put up with a lifetime of your husband speaking in a Looney Tunes accent and busting that out at cocktail parties, etc., just be aware of what you're signing up for. That being said, how often are you really going to see his butt, and that's going to be an issue for him? Just tell him to wear underwear. It's fine, so long as he's a good person. You know what? There's a lot of people that have terrible tattoos, and I won't go into specifics on who I know that does, but trust me, it is not a deal breaker.
Well, are you telling someone to wear underwear?
Okay, G, what is your take, G? Someone who's
trying to dodge this.
I know.
I can't answer that in a radio friendly way.
Oh no.
I'm going to take the Ursula approach on this one, and I think Ursula, you like you said, really, like of all the things to have a problem with, you are upset about a tattoo on the tuchus of the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. Should you pursue it? Pursue what? What do you want to do? Like, do you think him removing that tattoo will make him a different person? Considering, check this out, there's probably a good chance that for the rest of his life, the only person that's going to see his tuchus will be you, the doctor, and the person that gets him ready for burial. That's it. Nobody's going to see his tuchus. Wait, unless he's going to adopt what I'm thinking about adopting when I go. I'm getting ready, prepared to go to Florida in 6 months, and I'm thinking about wearing, I don't know if I can say it, but you know, one of those that does show your tuchus on the beach.
I'm already sick of that word. Okay, how about this? Here's
now everyone's seen that, G, here, in their heads.
You put the picture in there.
Here is a question, though, you guys, because we have a little bit of time.
Okay.
Do you, and this is for all of you listening right now, do you judge when you do see people with tattoos? I mean, that I was on a potential jury. I didn't ever make it, but that was one of the questions, because people do have biases. Either you love tattoos, and so, or some people say, I have an automatic reaction when I see someone with tattoos. Start with you, G.
No, because everybody has a reason as to why they got that tattoo. And maybe that tattoo did not age well. Like, maybe some of us, you have a tattoo on there like, ooh, this is a reminder of what I was going through during that time. But that's what was happening during that time, right? So, no, I don't judge. Wait, I take that back. I judge you. If you got tattoos on your neck, I'm sorry. I'm old school. I'm judging you. And on your face, come on, player.
It does depend what and where the tattoos are. I will say that.
Yeah.
I judge, definitely. Oh, there are wonderful tattoos, and there are some that are just terrible. Like, I'm sorry, if a young lady has a tramp stamp, I'm just like, oh, man, really? I don't know. Some people find, well, like, legitimately find
stamp.
Tattoos unattractive. What?
Even calling it a tramp stamp. I think if we're going to be real, I think that people do judge. Because I have a reaction, and then I kick myself because I say, I had a reaction before I actually even got to know that person. And once you get to know that person, who cares about the tattoos? But I've also told both my sons, I hope that they don't get one.
All right. Coming up next, it's time for Agree to Disagree. It's Gene Ursula.